2 Kings chapter 4, and we begin reading tonight with verse number 30. Thank you for your kind response to the word and your words of encouragement. It's been a privilege to be here. I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge this church tonight. The difference in a good church and a great church is how they respond to the challenge of the Spirit. You can remember that. The difference in a good church and a great church is how they respond when they are challenged. A great church will always respond positively. Like, we can do this. We will have this. We will go there. We will be that. 2 Kings 4 and 30. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. This is the Shunammite woman talking to the man of God. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, he just told it like it was. The child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, excuse me, but you folks, you know what? I just need to brag on you. There is an anointing to preach in this church that is rare. There is an anointing on this pulpit and this platform. There is a resonant anointing of God that is in this sanctuary. When every verse you say comes alive and leaps to you, that's anointing that's doing that. It's not my anointing. It's the anointing of those who have preceded me in this pulpit. Somebody has won the favor of God, and there is a resident anointing in this church. So I'll leave off that commentary. I could preach a while. I'll leave that and move forward. Verse 33. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. He went up and lay upon the child, put his mouth upon his mouth, his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. I feel a real challenge in the Spirit to extend to you tonight this message. It's time to stretch. It's time to stretch. Clap your hands and thank God for His Spirit. I praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. It's time to stretch. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I am, as probably, I don't mean to distinguish myself or demarcate myself for anybody special or set apart from other preachers, but I speak for myself. I am in a passionate pursuit of the power of God. I am in a search for more of the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I believe miracles, signs, and wonders belong to this church. We are the people of the name. We are people of the revelation. We are one of the rare, unique groups that maintain standards of holiness and separation from the world, from which I give praise to God for tonight. I don't despise our standards. I don't resist our covenants with God. I love the fact that we can be identified wherever we are as one of them. And we don't have to change that to be blessed by God. And we don't have to change that to grow. And we don't have to change that to reach our dreams in the Holy Ghost. So I've been pursuing God and petitioning Him as to how and why we don't see more, and what is the key to seeing the miraculous manifestation of God. And that's what I'm going to preach about tonight. I feel very confident that He has helped me to see what is our part in His being, in His power being released in our lives and in our place of praise. Our text locates us at a most needed, desperate miracle. I love the fact that this boy was born miraculously because his mother created an Adam. Too many are satisfied with their spiritual house. She built an add-on for the man of God. When the Bible said that that boy was laid on his bed, that boy was laid on the bed that she had put there for the prophet. It was what she had added to her walk with God that made room for a miracle. I'm telling us tonight that our miracle is probably in our add-on, because evidently it's not where we are. So there must be something else that we need to add to who we are, and what we've got. She laid him on the prophet's bed. I love the fact that when she got to where the prophet was, and I say this all the time, I assumed it from the word of the Lord. When people see me and they say, "How are you doing?" I met the evangelist again at the hotel today, and he said, "How's things at home?" And my patented response is, "All is well." Now that may not mean a whole lot, because when this woman met the prophet said, "God has not revealed to me what your problem is. How's your husband? How's your son?" The boy was dead. And she said, because she knew when she got to where he was, it didn't matter what she left at home. It was going to be all right. So I don't look at my circumstances and determine what I say. I know that the God that I serve is alive and powerful. So it doesn't matter what I see. All is well. I wish somebody would shout, "All is well." So she needed a most desperate miracle from God. And as the Bible has stated, the thing that preempted the miracle, initiated, was a catalyst for the miracle, was the stretching of the man of God. When the prophet stretched that which appeared to be unthinkable, unimaginable, and unprecedented, took place. What seemed to be an impossibility became a reality. And the most needed, sought after miracle took place. The boy was raised from the dead, and life was restored to him. All because he stretched. I don't have time to chase every rabbit that's jumping up right now, but I'm on the trail of a fresh one. So I'm going to run this one to the hole. Some of you have had miracles from God, but tonight you think it's dead. You've had past blessings from God, and you think it's gone forever. I come to preach to this church, if you will stretch, what you have given up will be given back. What you thought was gone forever will come back into your life. It is going to be incumbent upon you stretching. If you will stretch, God will bring back to life what you're trying to bear. The Holy Ghost has impressed me that if the apostolic church will stretch, We will see that which appears unthinkable, unimaginable, and unprecedented take place. If we will stretch, if we will stretch. The first effort by Gehazi to raise the boy from the dead failed. Isn't it amazing? It seems we're always given to alternate routes to arrive at the supernatural. We will try everything else before we finally try what we know will work. I wish somebody would say prayer still works. Faith still works. Fasting still works. Being faithful to God still works. Loving God still works. So Gehazi goes in, he lays the staff on the child. There's some things the staff can't do. You see the play on words there? The staff. Some things the staff cannot accomplish. Gehazi laid the staff on the child. The scripture states that there was neither voice or hearing in response to this effort. It absolutely accomplished nothing. The staff represents props, programs, and substitutionary personnel. None of that worked. None of that worked. I'm going to shock you by telling you that everything you need to fill this church with people, have them lined up to go into that water in Jesus' name, and to see the greatest revival you've ever had, is not outside this building, but it's in here right now. It's residing in here right now. I heard him say, if we'll stretch, we'll see the supernatural. The formula for the supernatural has not changed. It was first stated by Mary, the mother of Jesus, as a basis for the first miracle in his ministry and the foundation for every miracle. Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you don't know this, you'll be happy for me to share it to you and with you, knowing where you live. Mary said in John 2:5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. In the event that you don't know it, those are the last recorded words of Mary. Hail Mary. You with me now? The last words of the revered mother of Jesus is this: whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Could I say he told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and tarry until they were endued with the Holy Ghost? Mary's last words were, whatever he says, you do it. And that launched the miracle ministry of Jesus. So the formula for a miracle today, it worked then, it'll work now. Whatever he says for you to do, you just do it. No matter how ridiculous it seems, no matter how far-fetched it seems, if he tells you to do it, have the bravery, have the courage, have the faith to obey God and watch God work a miracle. That's what I loved about Timothy Creel's generation, R.E. Johnson, some of those men that I got to preach for as a young evangelist. If God told them to do it, they did it. It didn't matter how ridiculous it seemed. They didn't have a poll to see if the majority of the church was in favor of it. They didn't ask the district board, should they do it? They didn't call the general superintendent. If the Holy Ghost told them, step out in that aisle, I'm going to give somebody a miracle, they got out in that aisle. If the Holy Ghost said, run around that building, they ran around that building. They didn't just wait. I want us to get back to that place where people in the congregation can hear from God and know you may have the key to somebody's miracle. You may have the key to somebody's revival. You may have the key to a mighty move of God. If you will just do what he says for you to do. The Bible said in 2 Kings 4:34, he stretched himself. It says in 2 Kings 4:35, he stretched himself. when he stretched, the flesh of the child waxed warm. He sneezed seven times and he opened his eyes. I got very curious about seven sneezes. I rarely sneeze one time myself. How about you? When you sneeze, don't you usually sneeze more than once? Usually I sneeze two or three times when I sneeze. This boy sneezed seven times. I became curious as to why seven. And then I did a little investigating and I found out why. There are seven characteristics that describe something that is alive. There's seven of them. I didn't write that to fit my sermon tonight. There are seven things that everything that is alive has. If it doesn't have all seven of those characteristics, then it's not alive. That boy sneezed seven times to undeniably forever prove that he was altogether, completely, and totally back alive. That he had been raised from the dead, not partially, not somewhat, but totally, he was back to life again. Seven times he sneezed. I'm telling this church, it's time for you to stretch. The most beautiful part of that stretch is when he covered that boy with his body. Woo! His challenge, his obstacle, his problem totally disappeared. When he stretched over that boy, you couldn't even see that boy anymore. This church can stretch over your problems. You can stretch over your obstacles. You can stretch over your barriers. And it will disappear when you stretch. Sit down right there, Goliath. We are at our minimum when we are at a restful, normal, comfortable position. That's where he's at right now. A normal, restful, comfortable position. Now I'm going to preach this a minute. That's where most apostolics live. In a normal, comfortable, restful, spiritual posture. We are at our maximum when we stretch. I'm so anxious to say this, I'm going to blow the notes and say it right now. When you stretch, you don't add anything you didn't already have. He has not grown one inch. He has not added one thing. He simply moved to a radical extreme position. What he is and what he has. It's an energy. The church has got to move from this restful, comfortable, relaxed position to this stretched position where that we are as much as we can be. When we are as far as we can go, when we are as long as we can get, that's where the miracle is. Share a little humorous story and then we'll get on. Years ago, my nephew had just come to North Carolina from Texas, big old Texas boy. He pulled up to this intersection in his truck. Two guys pulled up, kind of blocked him where he couldn't go, they couldn't go, and they started hollering at him. I guess you better come back up here again, I'll use you again. They started hollering at him, sit down there. He's driving his truck, sitting there. They're threatening him, they're hollering at him, challenging him. And so the guys are drunk, these two guys in that truck are drunk. My nephew is a UPC preacher. But he's a big old boy. And so they're screaming at him. They're hollering profanity at him. One of them gets out of the truck and walks up to the side window of the truck. And we have patented used this in our home ever since that happened. That guy walked up to the truck and he looked at my nephew and he said, "I wish you'd say something else I don't want to hear you say." "I wish you'd say something else I don't want to hear you say." About that time, my nephew opened the door of the truck and he stepped out, and this is about the way it looked. And from the other truck, his buddy started hollering, "Oh, mister, don't hurt him. He's drunk. Don't hurt him, mister. Don't hurt him." They had no idea when you're in that relaxed, comfortable position, you can be bullied around. When you're in that relaxed, comfortable position, you ain't something the devil's scared of. But when you stand up and you stretch, the devil realizes greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So here's where we are. Not just in Moss Bluff, but as a movement when I travel, here's what I hear. "Well, you know, we could do this if we had this. We probably could do if we could get this, or if we could just have that." Everybody is explaining their inequities by what they think is missing. There is nothing missing. There is nothing that needs to be added. We don't need an addition. All we need is an extreme extension. An extreme extension. I'm talking about we stretch our faith until it reaches its extreme radical extent. We stretch our worship till it reaches an extreme radical extent. We stretch our commitment until it reaches an extreme radical extent. We stretch our love until it reaches an extreme radical extent. We extend our sacrifice and our faithfulness until we've taken it to that farthest point of stretch. And when we get it to that point of extreme stretch, the miracle will happen in our church. Here's the word of the Lord to you tonight. God does not need to bring one more thing into this church for your dreams to be a reality. There's nothing missing here. Everybody say, "There's nothing missing." You got a good worship team. You got great musicians. You got a wonderful pastor. You got a great staff. You got a loving church. You got a great standard. You got a commitment. You got a sacrifice. There's nothing out there that needs to come in here. But what needs to happen is we've got to come out of our comfortable position. We've got to come out of our restful position and stretch. And when you stretch, the dead is going to come back to life. And when you stretch, what you thought was unthinkable is going to become a reality. You may be seated. Everybody shout, "There is no telling what God would do if we'd just stretch." By the way, I was thinking about this. Doesn't it feel good to stretch? Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning, my wife had already gotten up and gone to other places in the house, and I'll just roll over and, man, you'd be surprised how good it would feel if you would stretch your worship. You'd be surprised how good it would feel if you'd just stretch your faith. If you would just stretch your expectation. We must quit having church and not expect something to happen. We need to expect the backsliders to come home. We need to expect our children to get the Holy Ghost. We need to expect our lost loved ones to come in. We need to expect miracle signs and wonders. Miracles happened when Moses stretched the rod. And in Matthew 12 and 30, something phenomenal took place. There was a guy there that had a withered hand. And I'm sure that if I would have been him, Matthew 12 and 13, if I'd have been him and I had a withered hand, I'd have kind of kept it out of sight. I'd kind of hid it. But the last thing he wanted to happen happened when Jesus said, "Stretch forth thine hand." Because Jesus didn't tell him which one to stretch. He just said, "Stretch forth your hand." God wants to deliver you from what you're ashamed of. God wants to heal you of what you're embarrassed about. God wants to free you from your self-condemnation. And he said, "Stretch forth thine hand." And when he stretched out that withered hand, it was healed. It was not healed until he stretched it. Another thing is, I think Jesus wanted that man to see is your problem at its greatest, most radical extent is no challenge to me. Stretch out what you're embarrassed about. I'm going to show you. You make it as big as you want it to be, and I want you to know I can still take care of it. What you're trying to cover, what you're trying to hide, just stretch it out in front of me. And I'll show you that what you thought never could happen will happen. Don't be ashamed. Stretch it out to him. Of course, the greatest miracle of all time. Salvation, deliverance, eternal life, the defeat of the devil, the conquering of sin, death, hell, and the grave defeated happened when Jesus when Jesus stretched on the cross, victory was won for me and you. The devil was defeated. Sin was conquered. Hell was robbed. The grave was defeated because he stretched. Stand up and clap your hands unto the Lord right now. When he stretched, the devil was defeated. When he stretched, you were set free. One last little verse. Psalm 68:31. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. One of the greatest revivals of all the earth is in Ethiopia. And God said, it's going to happen because Ethiopia soon is going to stretch out her hands. And when Ethiopia stretches out her hands, miracles are going to happen. Miracles are going to happen. I'm just going to ask you to walk to the front tonight. If you're able physically, if not, stay where you are. But I think all we got to do tonight to be blessed is just stretch. Just stretch. I'm going to stretch my faith. I'm going to stretch my worship. I'm going to stretch my love. I'm going to stretch my commitment. I'm going to stretch my passion. I'm going to stretch my prayer life. And when the prophet stretched, the miracle took place. Church, you are not far from your dreams. The unthinkable, the unimaginable happening in your life if you will just stretch. Could we all lift our hands right now? Let's stretch to the Lord. If you'll stretch what you thought